there is one power, and we're all part of it, and it's all around us, within us, and that song is a great description for what this one power is about. Daniel Nehemiah did a great job of capturing these ideas and doing it beautifully. So welcome to all of you to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. We are a community that is a caring community. We are a community that is all about understanding and knowing the truth. The truth as we continue to allow it to grow within us and to grow in the larger world and the larger picture as well. Spirit is spirit, and it's all already complete. Our job, our participation, is in awakening more and more of it within us, and more awareness, more and more understanding, because the more we understand truth, the greater our life experiences can be. So this month, we're doing a wonderful time of back to the basics, basic ideas and concepts of the science of mind or of new thought, and we started that last week. We'll continue it on through the rest of the month. So thank you and welcome. I'm glad you're here. We often say, such is the nature of life, that one power, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I. Whoever you are, whatever you come from, whatever your ethnicity or your sexual preference or your individual expression of life, however that shows up, you are welcome and you are honored because we know who you are. We know you're an expression of the divine. So how could we do anything but honor that difference and honor those uniquenesses and your unique version of being human? So welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you are. If you're here for the first time, be sure and stop and say hello afterwards, unless you just don't want to, and that's okay too. But if you do, I'd love to meet you and get to know you a little bit and find out how we can serve you more effectively. If you will, join me for our Declaration of Principle. These are the core ideas that we use. And stand if you'd like to, and we will read it together. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. So it is. Thank you. At this time, as we do each week, we have a practitioner. He's hiding behind me here somewhere. There he is. Who comes forward in order to share with us a good idea and then to guide and lead us in an opening or a beginning spiritual mind treatment, which is our name for affirmative prayer. It is a prayer that affirms the truth rather than asking God to do something as if we know better than God does about what it needs to be and how to be. Instead, we affirm the truth for us in order to align more with that larger truth in the world. So this morning, our session, our practitioner part is brought to us by one of our practitioners who's also, he's a lead practitioner, but he's also a member of our board and always brings something interesting and exciting. So Doug Moody. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, and good morning, Centers for Spiritual Living Midtown. How's everybody doing today? Great. We have a beautiful morning. We got a Tiger Bowl tomorrow night. It's going to be a big weekend. I'm very excited to be with you this morning. I always love this January time of year with our Back to Basics talks because it's so grounding and just a pleasant reminder. And with every year that goes by, that layer of experience gives us all something new and rich in which we can apply this teaching towards. I found a quote with Ernest Holmes that I thought was so beautiful. It's from the Science of Mind textbook on page 194, and it dovetailed so perfectly with the title of Dr. Bob's talk this morning, which is The Power of Thought. And Ernest Holmes said, "The spirit of the thing is thought. There is its essence, law, and cause. So when I read that, I was just like, wow, it's all right there. The power is so rooted in every one of our thoughts. And I came across a Science of Mind magazine. I don't know if any of you ever read this, but it's a great little magazine that has daily affirmations in it, as well as some other good inspirational articles. And there was an article in this particular one from January of 2018 that I thought dovetailed so beautifully with Dr. Bob's talk this morning that I wanted to share with you. And I want to start out by just showing a little short, quick video, and it's going to be on the basically the life cycle of the mighty sequoia tree. You know, there are so many species of trees on the earth, on the planet Earth, but the biggest and the mightiest of them is the sequoia tree. So just sit back and watch this short video, and it's going to be a little bit of an introduction. Thanks. I don't know how many of you have ever maybe been out to California and gone to the redwood forests or the Muir woods, but sequoias are very inspirational trees. What I liked about this video is that it was a reminder of that you, each one of you, and me, and Dr. Bob, every single one of us is that seed of potentiality. And within that seed is all the power of the universe that created that same tree. So my question to you this morning is, where do you place your faith? Where are you giving your power? Are you giving it to the lack or the limitation? Are you giving it to people who maybe like to tell you otherwise about your potential? Are you staying focused on the positive? Are you remembering who you really are, which is a pointless expression of all the power that exists in the universe? That's each and every one of us. We see darkness and challenges are actually opportunities for new action and for growth. Just as the fire, which was talked about in the video, which we think, oh, you know, it's a tragedy. And yes, it is. There are animals and stuff that die, but in the case of the sequoia trees, it's also something that brings forth that new life, allowing them to release those seeds and scatter them on the forest floor, bringing forth new growth, new potential. So it's real easy. All we have to do is shift our thoughts and use the power of our thought to condition our subconscious mind on a daily basis. And we can do that by affirming there's one power. We use spiritual mind treatment here in our teaching, and we should all be doing that on a daily basis to affirm those things that we desire and want to create in our lives. We can also improve our lives and our experiences by being mindful, monitoring what are our thoughts, what are we thinking, what are we feeling, because everything that is going through our mind, everything we're saying, every action that we do, God responds by saying, Spirit responds by saying, yes. So are we bringing more affirmation of negative thoughts, or are we putting out the positive thoughts? Are we putting out the things that we really desire instead of focusing on the things that we don't or that frustrate or that anger us? The other thing is, know that you're a seed of the infinite and you can achieve anything in your desire based on how you use your energy to direct your thoughts, your choices, your emotions, and your actions. And we all have the capability of moving mountains within us, within each and every one of us. The power is already there. But we have to start. It's up to us to start right here and right now every day just by moving a few simple stones. So with that, just remember that, like the mighty sequoia, it's up to you. Are you going to stay muddled in the soil? Or are you going to spring forth and reach for the sky? It's your choice. And whatever that choice is, you're wonderful. We love you just as you are. You're beautiful. and so am I and everyone. And know this now with me as we're going to shift into our affirmative prayer. I'm going to ask you to just relax and sit back. Uncross your limbs and legs and be open and receptive. I'm going to say this prayer in the first person and invite you to accept that which resonates with you. There's only one power, one spirit, moving throughout the universe, always present within me in each, simply waiting to be recognized and called forth. And in calling that spirit forth, I and each are one with all of creation, all that is in nature. I celebrate this union, this oneness. And I know that all is good, that all is perfectly well. And in this, I claim divine wisdom, divine love, divine right action, guiding me and each, every day, into making perfect choices for growth, into thinking correctly, choosing positive thoughts, choosing positive affirmations that inspire and tug at my heart, that encourage me, empower me, and embolden me to be the sequoia tree I was born to be. I claim this with love, knowing that I and each are exactly where we need to be, and that there is something here today that is exactly what I and each need to hear to encourage and nurture this growth forward. I am grateful for this center, for this teaching, for all the wonderful staff and practitioners and ministers who help us along our journey. And I claim this growth. I recognize my potential, embrace my potential. I'm excited about the opportunities of this growth. And I let this be so. Knowing this, I release my word into the universal law, knowing fully it is already done. I simply let go and let God, and it is wonderful. And together we say, and so it is.
So it is.
On that same theme of growth and gardens, and in light of Tom Hanks' recent recognition for his role in his movie as Mr. Rogers, I found a video clip. It's actually a remix of some of Mr. Rogers' positive statements about the garden of your mind. So I hope you enjoy this. Thank you.
Yes. Wow. Thank you, Doug. I think we have a doppelganger for Mr. Rogers right down here in the fourth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 row. And that's not an insult to you or him, either one. Okay, so the power of thought, that's our title today. So before I start talking, I mean, you've already heard the talk. You've heard it in different pieces from there, from Doug, from the readings, from your own mind as you're thinking about what we're bringing forward, which is the idea that thought itself is the real power of life. So let me ask you, what are you thinking about right now? And what have you been thinking about, say, in the last 5 or 10 minutes since you came in? Or longer than that, if you were here longer. Don't tell me, just think about it for a minute. Paying attention. One of the first steps in understanding and working with these ideas is learning to pay attention to what we're thinking. Because so much of the time it's habitual. We just fall into tracks and treads and groups of thought that we aren't even aware sometimes of what they're doing for us or to us or because of us. So I wonder, have you been thinking about why isn't this place more full of people? Where are they? Or are you thinking about, wow, I get to come to a place on Sunday morning with a group of people who care about me, who recognize my uniqueness and my wonderfulness, and who share a caring experience with. And I get to hear good ideas and hear great music and a good talk. See, where we go in our when we relax into our everyday sort of not paying attention thought determines a great deal about how our experience continues to be. Do you find yourself when you're sitting at a traffic light in the car falling into the worry mode? Kind of like upside down faith. Faith that something terrible is going to happen. Because mine, as Doug said, is saying yes. The consciousness of the universe is saying yes. So if I'm spending a lot of time with those kinds of things, I'm creating an opportunity for those things to continue to flourish in my life. Now, often some people will say, well, but that's just reality. It's nothing wrong with thinking about reality. We don't want to pretend it's not. And I agree. But what's real is not this. What's real is the consciousness within us and the reality of what we see, think, believe, and feel. And we have the power to change that. We have the power to think through situations and look for, is there some way in which there's a greater good being expressed here? Is there some way in which life is expressing itself? I love the example of the redwoods because it takes the fire. Sometimes what feels like fire for us in our lives can become that which germinates and brings greater good to us and through us than we ever imagined before. Does that mean it should happen to you all the time? Of course not. Having been through some fires, I don't particularly want to do that again. However, it's the opportunity to recognize that even in the worst of cases, there is something good to come out of it. And it opens us up to the new, what's possible, what could go on. The first idea or important foundational idea for this is what we talked about last week, and that is we are immersed in an infinite universe. We're immersed in an intelligence, a consciousness, that is the single field out of which everything takes shape and form, or into which everything takes shape or form. We don't separate from it when we become individuals. As we have had, you know, with our families, we do this, go through this whole phases of separation where you individuate, you separate. But you only do that so you can go back and connect with them again. Connect from your own truth, not from something else. Well, in this wonderful teaching and in this wonderful idea of the infinite, we are within it, and yet we're individual within it. See, when I'm thinking, when I'm talking right now, I'm utilizing that one mind, that one consciousness. It's the part I have participation in. And so are you. As you're listening, as you're thinking, as you're wondering about brunch or whatever else might be going through your mind, you're using that same consciousness, that same mind. And because it's the mind of the infinite, it can only respond to itself in a positive way. It can't be divided against itself. A oneness can't be divided against itself. So wherever and however we're using it by participating in that, it is creating our experience accordingly. Ernest Holmes in the textbook says that life is a mirror and it will reflect back to the thinker exactly what you think and believe. Now, this is a tricky part of that, in that we don't want to turn this into self-blame or making anybody wrong, which can happen. What's in your consciousness? You ever heard that? Not from anyone in here, I'm sure. But you may have somewhere where we get off on beating ourselves up or other people up because we're creating this mess. I used to be really great at creating messes. When I first got into this part of this spiritual path, a friend of mine said, "You know, you are so creative. You create the biggest messes in your life of anybody I know." And I could take that two ways. I can make myself wrong, which I kind of did for a little bit, or turn that around and say, okay, I have real power for creation and creativity and participating in the creative process. So why not use that in a different direction and bring about greater good for myself? So when you think about the messes you may have created or the fires you may have gone through, look for what would be the thing to grow from it and how do I want to shift my thinking about that so I can create something different, so I can plant seeds to grow a better and different life. The other part of this that's important is that Spirit responds to us by saying yes. It does for us, supports us, but it does that by working through us. In other words, if we are creating a better idea for our lives, we're creating a greater relationship or greater prosperity or whatever, we can't expect that to come from someplace totally disconnected from us. I mean, the truth is we're part of the whole, but always, 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 Spirit comes to us and through us and brings us that greater good in the context of our own thinking. If I believe my greater good is XYZ and I'm committed to it and I believe it's going to happen because Spirit says yes, God says yes, the consciousness says yes. So I need to be very clear in paying attention to my thought, my thinking, is what is my belief about my good, my belief about how life works. Do I give all the power to something out there? Am I a victim of the government or a victim of a religion or a victim of my family or a victim of anything else? Or can I take charge and be the sovereign within my life by utilizing my thought in a very different way? And you're the only one that can do that. I can nudge you and we can talk about it and we can remind each other, and that's a big part of what this community is here for, is to teach skills to continue to change our thinking. But you got to do it. And the good news is you get to do it. And you have all the tools within you to do it. Something in you already knows what to do and how to do it. So I have a question for you. What do you see? Half full. What do you see? A full glass. Half with water and half with air. Well, I have a different question. How heavy is this? How much do you think it weighs? Any guesses? I heard a mumble. What? Yeah, maybe 8 ounces, 6 ounces, not sure. Doesn't feel very heavy. But, you know, the real point of that is it isn't about how heavy it is, how much it weighs. It's how much is in it, but even more, it's how long you're going to hold it. I have no problem holding this here right now. This, you know, I'm fairly strong. But if I held it for an hour like this, my arm would probably start aching, and I'd want to switch hands. And if I tried to hold it for the rest of the day, my whole arm would get numb and lose connection with the rest of me. It would just hurt, right? Anybody ever done that exercise where they tell you hold your arm out for an hour or whatever, and it seems like no big deal until about 30 minutes into it, and then you're in great pain? Well, the same thing is true for the stuff we hold in consciousness. If you're holding heavy things, if you're holding things that are destructive, if you're holding beliefs that are counter to the truth of oneness, the longer you hold them, the first while, they just are annoying things that you come back to. After a while, though, you go numb to anything else. and it takes over your consciousness, your thinking, and your creative ability. And so we begin then to create these self-destruct. That's why the whole so much about our culture, it's so important that we look past what is appearance. Because that appearance often is based on years and years of accumulated beliefs and thoughts. And we inherit them without even realizing it. And a big part of what we're about here is to really dive into what do I really believe about that and what's possible. Can I let go of this belief or that belief? Can I put something else in its place? Yeah. So I'm going to put that down. As I said, mission vision we have in the program here is that we are a strong, open, globally connected community centered in the clarity of principle. Through teaching, service, and practice, we create a safe and respectful environment that supports healthy spiritual growth. That's what we're about here, and that's who we are. So think about, for your life, what is healthy spiritual growth? What would support you in getting a better idea of life that would allow you to create a better life for yourself, that will allow it to simply show up and appear? Back at a different center, I had we had volunteers that would come into the office because we had an office there all week. And often people would come to volunteer because they were between jobs or they were unhappy about something and they just needed a place to be in a better environment. And what we would say every time is, okay, keep coming back, show up, because it will change. Your life will change because you will be in a different environment. You'll be in an environment of positivity, an environment where people see the potential. And we never kept any of those volunteers very long because they always got jobs, so they went on to something else that was greater. And that was good. That was fine, because that's what we're about. And we hired a couple of them over the years. See, when you expose yourself to this kind of thinking and you allow it to sink in, perhaps through the fire that opens you up, but whatever it takes for that to begin to be there, to begin to ask yourself, what could I think? How could I think differently about this? What's a better idea? What's a universal idea? Now we teach tools for change here. One is rational thinking. Rational logical thinking. Part of what enticed me into this teaching to begin with is when I first showed up, they didn't tell me leave your head in the outside, leave your mind outside and just come and accept whatever we tell you. They said, come on in, listen to it, test it, try it, see if it works for you. And I did. And it did. And I'm still here. But I'm saying that to say what we call spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer is simply a logical process of working with our minds to create a better idea for ourselves. You know, and it starts from the idea that there's only one power, one light, one life, and it's all around us and through us. We are created out of it. It is the stuff of life. And then we add to that, and therefore I am a part of it. Therefore it can only say yes to my belief, not my wish. You can wish for things for all day, but if you don't believe in it, it's not going to happen. We say in this teaching, you know, you don't get what you want, you get what you believe you deserve. So you create the life you believe you deserve. So it's finding that deserving consciousness inside of you and eliminating any of the nonsense that says you don't deserve your good. So many of us push our good away because somehow we think we don't deserve it. We aren't good enough, we're not small enough, we're not big enough, we're not young enough, we're not old enough, all of that stuff. But in truth, if I know and can create that idea within me that I do deserve this wonderful life and those things that I desire to bring forward into my life, then I can go, wow, so what would I create if I could do anything? And then you get to fill in the blank. That's spiritual mind treatment continued. And when you start to think, I really deserve the greater good. I deserve prosperity. I deserve to not worry ever about being sustained in a universe, being sustained in my world. never, ever doubt that I am surrounded by love and that the planet is full of people who would love me if I just notice them and let them. Finding a way to get to that idea, and then the natural response to that is, yes, thank you. And then we release. That's a tool that this teaching in particular has brought to the planet in a way that no other group has done. Others have versions of it, all of which, many of which are very effective, no question about it. But that's one of those tools about changing, that we use to change our thinking. We also use affirmations. I am perfect, holy, and complete. What did you hear in your head when I said that? Yeah, right? Are you kidding? And working as a therapist years ago, we used to have certain clients and suggest that when they're at home in the privacy of their bedrooms, that they take off all of their clothes and stand in front of the mirror and affirm, "You are beautiful." Anybody feel uncomfortable with that? You got to get there to believe it in order to feel it. Because you are beautiful, however you're shaped. Whatever body you have, large, small, short, tall, doesn't matter. It's beautiful because it's an expression of you and who you are. So it's a great way to find out how you're doing with your self-esteem. We don't. I'm kidding. No mirrors here. You don't have to worry about it. But when you do think about this, what would it take for me to really affirm and believe that I'm a beautiful human being, inside and out, regardless? You know? What it would take is to continue to affirm that, even when everything in your head is saying no, and when the no comes up, recognize it as a lie. I'm not beautiful. Maybe when I was 20, but I'm not now. That's a lie. Beauty is a quality of spirit that is present in everybody, every person. And we have to learn to see it in order to appreciate it and recognize it. And by learning, again, we keep affirming it until it shows up in our minds. It keeps coming through. The other place that we can work on changing our thinking and our thought is through visualization, where you use your imagination to imagine the very best for yourself. Imagine yourself participating in something. When I was a kid growing up in Florida, and it was a very impoverished area, the one color picture in the version of the World Book Encyclopedias that we had was a color picture of Machu Picchu. And every time I turned to that picture, just because it was the only thing that was in color and I liked the color, and I would watch it and look at it and imagine myself being there. And wondered if, you know, it was such a foreign thing, I never really thought I could. But I imagined it anyway, and I've been 3 or 4 times now. And I hope to go back again. And I got to go before it became so tightly controlled, so I could hang out there all day and walk around and have a good time. Now, did I know as a little kid that I was creating this experience for myself by visualizing it and imagining it? No. Universe works the way it works regardless. The law works the way it works. It says yes to your beliefs and your thoughts and your imaginations and your ideas. That's why this time of year people are setting all kinds of resolutions and things they're going to do and not do, and lose weight finally again, all that, get in shape. The most important thing you can do with any of those is imagine them already done. Use your imagination, use your visualization, your ability to visualize what's in front of you or what you want to be in front of you, and continue to hold on to that. Because if you can, and if you do, and if you continue to come back to it again and again, it will eventually show up in your life in a really powerful way. And it will allow things that are in the way of that to get cleared and to move aside. You'll be drawn to that right person or group of people who can say, "You know, you want to go to Machu Picchu, huh? Yeah, I always want to go to Machu Picchu. Let's do that." Or whatever the thing is you're imagining. Or you might run into somebody that looks at you and says, golly, you're beautiful. Yeah? And there's no accounting for that, you know. Everybody, every pot's got a lid. Everybody's got folks who see them as beautiful, whether they do or not. And it's not about anything in the magazines or on TV or whatever. See, we can create this for ourselves with ease and beauty and grace. And our center and this time together is all about making that happen. It's all about supporting you in creating the life of your dreams and the life you desire, and coming together in a loving, powerful way to do that. So, drink the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Decide that you can take into your consciousness the best ideas for yourself, and none of it is too heavy to hold. And that's because you're wonderful, and so am I, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so join me, if you would, for a few moments of meditation, and we'll follow that with a spiritual mind treatment. So I invite you, as you take a deep breath, close your eyes, settle into the right here and now. And make a choice. A choice to accept the ideas that are all for your highest and greatest good. You don't have to assess what they are or think about them, just make a choice. Choice is a powerful thing. And if there are any things wandering around in your mind right now that are like, well, yeah, but I can't do because of this, or I can't because of that, or this is stopping me, or that's not where I want to be, decide, choose to let that dissolve back into nowhere. And bring your mind back again and again to the vision, the image, the idea of who and what you are and how you want to be in the world. So I accept that there's only one power, one light. It is the one energy. It is the one consciousness that includes everything that is. It is energy and information. It is a potential power for our use. And I and everyone in this room are part of that. We are expressions of it. We are the thing itself. We are the word and voice and thought of the infinite. And so now, as I choose my thoughts, as I choose my beliefs, I choose to know the very best for myself and by association for everyone and everything else. I choose my very best and the very best idea of relationships, of loving and being loved. I imagine what that's like now and what it can become even more so, even greater. I accept the very best ideas of my prosperity. I look at where I'm sitting. I look at who I am and what is all of the support that the world provides and the universe provides that gives me such great opportunity for expression. I deny any idea of poor, poverty, lack, limitation. And I imagine and bring into my consciousness positive, powerful beliefs about my gifts and where and how I wish to give them, my work, as it were. I am free to work in the way that I want to, with whom I want to work, and I know that I have unique gifts. And without me, those would not be given. And so I bring those forward into my own mind and I imagine and know the good that I bring. And I recognize that my body is an expression of the divine, therefore it is perfect health. Within it, there is the blueprint for perfect human, for perfect spiritual expression of a human being, and my body now aligns with that. I continue to align my body, and the things that appear to be off or different are simply an opportunity for spirit to show up in a more powerful way in my life. And knowing that all this is so, I can only have one expression, and that is gratitude. Gratitude to know that in my thinking, the infinite is saying yes. Grateful that these things are now true for me because I have imagined them. And I am bringing them forward. So in that gratitude and with that gratitude, I can easily, joyfully, freely release this treatment. Release this affirmative prayer and turn to my everyday life, moving from here into my world, knowing that this is already accomplished. And I watch for it showing up with enthusiasm, anticipation, and excitement. I'm grateful that this is so. I live in this space of attitude of gratitude, and I let it all come forward for me. This is the truth, I let it be, and so it is. So we have been giving you the opportunity to meet and get to know your board of trustees by having them come and share with you or lead us in our affirmation of prosperity and announcements. Today that is the wonderful Karen Childs. You may know her as the lady out there serving coffee and doing a beautiful job of that. So thank you, Karen. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I can do better than that.
Yep. Good morning.
There you go.
Yes. Nice. Thank you. Karen Childs, member of your Board of Trustees. This is the point in the service where the Board of Trustees and other practitioners and so forth have... Why don't I stand up close to it and speak into it? Would that be a fine idea?
That'd be a fine idea, yes.
Okay. Where we talk about prosperity and what it means to giving, and they provide a little kind of a cheat here, and I'll read you the next thing after I introduce myself. It says, now is your opportunity to support this center and its work through your giving. And I want to depart just a minute to share with you something from my personal life and my personal experience on this subject. Those very words over the years have just triggered a sense of discomfort. I didn't want to talk about money. I didn't want to talk about giving or supporting. And these are my own feelings of lack. And the discomfort was there. I wasn't part of this teaching at the time. If there are any recovering Catholics in the group here, you might have an idea of where I'm coming from, that Every Sunday, which was obligatory that you go, of course, whether you got any value from it or not, but you were supposed to pay for that non-value anyway, and it was kind of like a demand letter every time. And I couldn't connect the dots. You know, I wanted my good. I wanted to feel positive about this. I mean, I'm going to hell for sure. So why don't I get with the program here and understand that if I give money to the Catholic Church, my life will be enhanced, and that's just what you do. And I couldn't quite get there because intuitively, even before this teaching, I was looking for my good. I was looking for the things that mattered to me. And I couldn't make a list of two or three that stayed with me out of that experience of that religion. And so I went away from it gradually. didn't know that my instincts had been right all along, that all I had to do with every decision I made was to look for my good. Well, duh, we do it anyway, but we don't call it that. We don't really say that. So I want to share with you how I got from discomfort to comfort on the subject of money and support, this center, and other worthy things. It started, too, not only with the Catholic Church, but also with my family, which every time we wanted to buy something, the response was, every sentence began with, "We can't afford that." And so I just began to think that there was lack in my life and I couldn't do one thing about it. And how could I give if I didn't have an abundance or anything left over? And that stayed with me for decades and decades. And then one day I found myself at the Woodruff Arts Center in a service similar to this. And it resonated so much with me that it changed my life. And this teaching has, every day, reinforced in me that all I have to do is look for my own good. So I, one morning, very purposefully, grabbed myself by my own shoulders and decided to get over my bad self, as you know I'm often, I often say, and ask myself, what do you spend money on? What in your life is important that you write checks for, swipe that credit card for? What's important to you? Well, many of you are going to have this very same list. I mean, it's really nice to have water and power and natural gas and the yard guy and the exterminator who shows up. You spend money on your car and put gas in it regularly, and there's maintenance involved as well. Oh, and there's, you know, not so important, manicures, pedicures, hair color, haircuts, all those things we women spend money on, and they have become necessities, haven't they? So I looked at that list, and I recognized it as having a lot of my good in it. I need all those things. But how do I value it? It's become a nuts and bolts discussion in my life. I just write the check. I just pay online. I do whatever it takes to keep my life moving forward. But I don't stop really and say, thank you for it. It doesn't impact me like that. And then along came this teaching. And I lined up next to this list of nuts and bolts the concept of this teaching, which has transformed my life. Well, I suppose going without electricity for any period of time would transform your life, but conceptually and emotionally, nothing else that we spend money on transforms our life in the way that this teaching does. And it is such a meaningful, emotional thing, and the more I embrace it and pull it to me and practice it every day, the more my life seems to work out. Troubles arise, of course, they always will, but somehow they're resolved easily. And I can then always go into my own consciousness, which has now been elevated dramatically, and say, where is my good? My good is in this teaching because it tells me that how I choose to think creates my personal experience. And it's been the theme of this whole morning, but also it's the theme of this teaching every day. You are empowered to do what you want to do. Your life will look like, as it says, what you want it to look like. So then that brings me back to the reality of committing to spending money on things I believe in. And it is a different conversation because I value this place. I value this leadership. I value the community. Oh my goodness, like-minded people, where do you get this? You don't walk down the street and get people who are thinking like you're thinking. They're not at work. They're typically not in your circle of friends. But here they are. You can find people who could finish your sentence in lots of different situations. So I value all these things, and I committed a long time ago, many years ago, that I was going to at least match what I paid for the yard guy. And then and then I've elevated that and elevated that as well. And it works for me to write a check every month. And the best part about it is actually that when I find my own good, and somebody in this service stands up here and says, now it's time to talk about money, I now sit up a little straighter, I feel a little more heart-centered, because I know that I am supporting a teaching that has at its center my own good. So I'm spending money on me. What a more worthy cause could that be than to spend money on yourself? So when I hear somebody talking about supporting this center, I remember one of the very best gifts, that there is joy in giving. So now I'd like you to join me in reading the affirmation for prosperity. You'll see it there or on the little card. So read with me out loud. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly, and so it is.